I'm into. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shed up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things have been going real good for you in your neck of the wood. This morning we have a wonderful program for you. We have a wonderful sermon by one of the greatest preachers, I think, that has been on this earth, and that none other than Dr. E.V. Hill. He has a great sermon that says what to say to the devil when he talks to you. And so get close to your radio and listen as he preaches.
And Heavenly Father, we come for the purpose of preaching.
Lord, help.
And because of the awesomeness of preaching, we come to say, please let us preach.
Lord, have mercy.
Enable us to preach. Give us that instantaneous enablement. Lift us out of the ordinary. And let us dwell with you.
Yeah. Lord, have mercy.
We come to preach not for fame nor reputation, but save somebody.
Yeah. Lord, have mercy.
Bring somebody home. Yeah. We ask not of ourselves, but in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Thank God. Pastor Van and members and friends who have gathered here tonight, and to all of the distinguished pastors, preachers, upstairs, downstairs, to all of my friends of many days who have gathered, it's a good thing to be back in Detroit.
Amen.
I have been coming to Detroit for some 38 years. I came to Detroit chapter.
Yes, sir.
Of the book of Matthews. The first verse. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say wait. You don't have it by now, come training union.
That's right.
Then, verse 1, chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." Amen. Thank you, Ernest. I want to talk tonight on what to say to the devil when he talks to you. Now I began by saying that Satan talks to us. I raised my hand as the first one, and I hope you'll join me as confessing that Satan talks to me. If there's anybody here that Satan doesn't say nothing to, you are a unique person. Second of all, he considers you worthless. It's the only reason why he doesn't talk to you. He doesn't consider you worth talking to. He doesn't consider you a danger to his program. He doesn't consider you a threat to his kingdom.
Right, sir.
Therefore, he just overlooks you.
Yes.
He just overlooks you. But if you are in any way a threat to his kingdom, if you are in any way trying to get men and women, boys and girls, to come to Jesus, Satan will talk with you.
Yes,
he's a smooth talker. He knows what to say. He knows when to say it. And one of the things that we must prepare our people, Brother Preacher, is to know what to say to the devil.
That's right.
When the devil talks to them.
All right, right.
We have many problems in our churches because people are listening to the devil.
That's right. That's right.
And we know it's the devil because it's contrary to the word. And sometimes it's presented in a holy fashion. Sometimes, I don't know whether y'all have it up here, but sometimes people out in Los Angeles says, I don't know, I can't find, it's not in the scripture, but the Spirit gave me a special revelation. Something that has never been said before. And something that he hadn't given to nobody else. Well, if he hadn't said it before, if it ain't in the book, forget it. Say amen. Forget it. We don't want to preach nothing that ain't in the book. You don't have no authority. It's just like practicing law before the Supreme Court. You've got to stick with the law. You can't say, "Your Honor, it ain't in the book." They said, "Forget it." They said, "Just quote us the law." And that's the same way with the scripture. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, it will not be contrary to the scripture. Say amen. And I don't care how holy y'all get, y'all ain't no push me further than this Bible. I'm going to stick with this Bible. A whole lot of folks come out, "Ooh, the Spirit." No, no, show it to me. The Bible. The church that I have now pastored past 32 years, headed to my 33rd, and I have not had 33 minutes of argument all put together. If you put every discarded word together, it wouldn't amount to 33 minutes. I have not had 33 negative votes all put together in 33 years. As a matter of fact, one man cast 11, so his doesn't count but for one. And he's in glory now, so I don't have to count his vote no more. I have not had. And one of the reasons I have not had is because I made some rules when I went there. And one of the rules that I made was that you can't get the flow of the Mount Zion Baptist Church until you give me a text. You can't stand up and say, "Brother Pastor, the way I see it," I will say, "I don't mean no harm. I don't mean no harm. I don't mean to be arrogant, but please be seated. We can't run this church on how you see it." Run it. You already have glasses on, so. And you can't get the flow by saying, "Brother Pastor, I think." No. I don't mean no harm. Love you, but please be seated. We cannot run this church on the way you think.
No, sir.
Now, if you want to get the flow at the church I pastor, say, "Brother Pastor, yes, according to Matthew." Talk on. Matthew what? What chapter is that?
Yes, sir.
Let us get the verse.
Yes.
Now, talk.
Right,
say amen.
And
you have to read it straight. Brother Pastor, according to Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, all right, then hold it, let us get it. And read on. Now, whatever the book has to say, we're ready to hear it.
That's right.
But we ain't ready to hear her, them, and they, those. The safest guide to the church is what is written.
That's right.
Say, you have a whole lot of smart folk who believe that they have something to say above what is written. And a whole lot of churches have gotten in a lot of trouble.
That's right.
Finding or following that kind. And then some people get up and say, "I don't know where to find it," but somewhere in the Bible, then come to Training Union and find out where it is. And then come back and you can have the flow. Because a whole lot of people are saying what's in the Bible ain't in the Bible. Well, I'm going around, "The Bible says where?" Well, Bible ain't said nothing like that. Am I right about that? That's just something you heard, somebody heard that heard. But the Bible did not say. And so the devil speaks to us. You will note that the first word of this chapter says "then," which refers us back to that glorious chapter, the third chapter, where Jesus had been baptized.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You will remember the glorious occasion of Jesus' baptism. He goes down into Jordan, where John was baptizing unto repentance.
That's right.
Not unto salvation.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, we do not baptize unto salvation.
No.
We do not baptize. We are not sacerdotalists. We do not baptize unto salvation. You got to be saved.
Yes, sir.
That's right. You're saved before you go into it. The baptizing is just an outward demonstration.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, we messed up when we brought them in the church. Once upon a time, in the olden days, they marched them through the community in white dresses and white bandanas around their heads, singing, "Take me to the water." And sinners would see it. And they would say, "My God, somebody else got saved."
Yes, sir.
Saved?
Yes, sir.
But we decided to put the pool in the church. And ain't no sinners looking at it. Wouldn't it be a marvelous? Wouldn't it be a marvelous thing if every Baptist church on the first Sunday would line up somewhere all of their candidates? See, the world doesn't think we're doing nothing. Because you got two over here, one over here, three over there. And the world never sees it. And when we baptize, very few church folks see it. Because most of the time we baptize in the evening and y'all ain't here, y'all back home. But suppose all 500 of these churches, you bring your 2, you bring your 4, you bring your 10, you bring your 15. Suppose every month all 500 churches would meet at some lake or some pool or somewhere and march them right through town singing, "Take Me to the Water." The news media would be there. Say amen. Saying, where did these 500 folk come?
Yeah.
And then next month here come 500 more. And the world will say, the church has taken over. They just baptized 1,000 last month.
Yeah.
And if you add up all that we are doing, if we put it all together, we are probably baptizing 1,000. But it's so scattered and fragmented until the world doesn't see it. But Jesus went down into John. And John recognized him and said, "I know you are. You are God's lamb. You are God's lamb."
Yeah.
And he said, "I can't baptize you. First of all, you don't need no baptizing. I'm baptizing unto repentance. And you haven't done anything to repent of." Am I right about it? So I don't need to baptize you.
I don't need.
And Jesus said, "You're right, John. I don't need no baptizing. But since I must be the perfect example in everything, suffer it to be so. I must cross every T. I must dot every I. When I get through here, nobody must be able to stand up and say he failed to do anything. I've come to wipe the slate clean. So now go ahead and baptize."
Yes, sir.
But just before he baptized, to make it more glorious, the Holy Spirit came and descended on his shoulder and lit on his shoulder in the form of a dove. And now we have God the Son in the water. God the Holy Spirit on his shoulder. This is the first adjoined session of the Trinity outside of glory.
Yes.
And then God said, "I got to cap it off."
Yes.
And the heavens opened.
Yes.
And the voice of God cleared up everything. If people had just read the third chapter of Matthew, we wouldn't have had no killing in Waco. Because if folk had just read Matthew, we wouldn't have had Prophet Jones. We wouldn't have had Daddy Grace. We wouldn't have had Father Divine. We wouldn't have had Jim Jones. Because look what God said. This is my beloved Son. Now that means those that have come before him saying they lie, and those that are coming in the future, they lie. This, say amen. Doesn't that clear up everything? If you ain't this one, you are not the Son of God. Have I got a witness? And then the scripture says, after this glorious occasion, praise his holy name, he said, then the Spirit, not the devil, but the Spirit. Now let's let our imagination work with us. Having been baptized in this manner, and having the Holy Spirit on his shoulder, and the voice of God speaking, you would then naturally believe that the very next thing, he would be led to some type of palace. Some type of throne. I mean, after God personates it. After the God, the Holy Spirit personifies.
Yeah, yeah.
And after he sets himself up in humility and John baptized, you would normally think the very next thing that would happen is, it said, and they led him to his throne. Or they led him to his palace. But strange and paradoxical, after this high moment, it says, then the Spirit leads him not to a palace, not to a throne, not to some holy place, not for somewhere for men to honor him, but he leads him into the valley and the mountains of temptation.
Yes, sir.
Which leads me to say to everybody here, watch out about your days of triumph. Watch out when you have days of triumph and plenty. Because right behind it can come a stormy day.
Yeah.
Right after his baptism comes his temptation. Right after becoming somebody in particular, you can be challenged and knocked off your horse. So be very careful. Right after finishing college and university, you can mess up. Right after coming into retirement, you can mess up. Right after receiving the call to preach the gospel and acknowledging the call, you can mess up. So you got to be very careful. So he leads him now out in this wilderness of temptation. Now, let's take a look at where the Spirit led him to. Most of us are looking for a comfortable place to worship, a comfortable place to meditate, a comfortable place to commune with God. But let's look where he led him to. He led him to a place that has no tree.
Yeah.
He led him to a place that has no trickling or babbling spring. He led him to a place where there are no cliffs, where you can hide from the burning sun.
Yes, sir.
He led him to a place where it runs about 120 degrees during the day and 100 degrees at night. I know it. I went there in 1962 and I wanted to see this place of temptation. And I got out there and in 15 minutes I told my limousine man, take me on back to town. He stayed out here 40 days and 40 nights, but I'm ready to go right now. Amen. He led him out there into that kind of a situation. Help me, Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Now he stayed out there under the tutorship and leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
For 40 days.
40.
And 40 nights. He was both human and divine.
Yes, sir.
Thus his tongue was thickened. His eyes were scorched and the membrane were sore. His fingers were split, and out in that baking sun, he was dehydrated. His physical body was dehydrated of all fluids, and the sun coming down baking him every day for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of this exhausting, dehydrating, burning, splitting, aching, painful experience, here steps up the devil. The devil knows when to approach you. Watch out, Sister Holy Sister. You ain't that holy. The devil knows when to approach you. Have I got a witness? And he knows what to approach you with. Help me, Holy Spirit. Don't declare yourself beyond the devil. Because the devil knows. And he's patient. He knows when to wait. He did not attack Jesus on his first day. But he figured that Jesus, after 40 days and nights, would have some question marks about where is God. You can say what you will of me. But if trouble comes long enough and hangs around long enough and stays there long enough, there's going to come some questions in your mind. Where is God? And so the devil comes up and he attempts to do something that he will do to you as a Christian. He says, if thou be.
If thou.
He attempts to plant an if in the mind of Jesus. Now, if he tried to put an if in Jesus' mind, what do you think he'll do to you? Jesus was Son of God.
Yes.
Jesus was and is God.
Yes, sir.
You at best are a human being that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will put an if in your mind. He will take troubles and trials and difficulties to put an if in your mind. You know somebody at home right now who used to be active and faithful in this church who is at home with an if in his mind. Help me somebody. The devil specializes in putting a doubt, an if. I didn't think it would work out that way. Have I witnessed? And so he comes up to him and says, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. In other words, the devil said, it's time for you to prove your position.
Yes, sir.
You've been out here, you, the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
You out here, darker than the dark, scorched by the sun.
Oh.
Your God did this to you? Help me some.
Yes, sir.
You dehydrated and haven't had no attention. You don't look like you're the Son of God. You look like you have been abandoned by God. Help me somebody. Just looking at you, God ain't had nothing to do with you. And some of you have had that experience. Some of you, the road has been rough. The going has been tough. I shall never forget. God has all through my ministry, given me different kinds of gifts. Gifts are not permanent. You can't say what you have. You can't say what you have.
All right.
As long as I've been preaching, I cannot say I'm going to preach tonight. Help me somebody. I've been preaching 42, 43 years, but I can't say I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to say I'll preach if the Lord lets me. And in my ministry, I've had the gifts of praying for folk, and they have been healed. I prayed for people. I remember the first time it happened. A lady had this great big tumor. You could see it. And she was in our prayer meeting, and I prayed for her. And the next morning, the tumor was gone. And she went to her doctor, and her doctor said, what happened? Took x-rays, and she immediately wanted to. I told her, shh, I don't want to be known as no healer. No, I don't want that. I want to be known as a preacher. Now, you're going to die from something. If I heal you from this, you're going to die later from something. But if I can get you saved, help me somebody, you'll live on eternally. Whole lot of folk running for healers who haven't accepted Christ as Savior.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today. But that was Dr. E.V. Hill. And he was talking about what to say to the devil. All right, thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long. But we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.